Welcome to the Pivot Shift Ahead Mastermind. It's your friend James Shaw. Thank you so much for choosing to be here and make this part of what you do every single day. I'm really thankful that you see this as a resource to help you get better. Today I'm excited because we have a guest host, someone who's been part of what we do in this community since the very beginning. She's been a great resource to me, and she's going to be helpful to you today as well. It's our friend Nakia Dollar. Nakia, take it away.
Good morning, all. Happy Thursday. Thankful Thursday. It's Nakia Dollar here in Huntsville, Alabama. It's bright and early here in the central time zone, and we are here to have an amazing call. Good morning. I love seeing all of your cameras on. Tulio getting his workout in. Latoya getting her workout in. Adrian Wilson looks like she's getting a walk in the dark. That is what's up. Start your day with purpose, on purpose. You know, we are going to start today in the Pivot Group. You know, James often says that ask questions in the group. And I think it's always the pre-show is a great opportunity to do that. Lauren Cox posted, I recently had a conversation with my cousin who was complaining about the fact that for every home she's purchased, she was the one who found the house. She was insinuating that in each of these cases, her agent made a lot of money and didn't do enough work to research and find the home. I talked about this with my coach, and we discussed how it may be a good idea to add this topic to my buyer's consultation so we can make sure to properly discuss the home search process and stress how even if we find the house, I will help them get the house. Curious if anyone has touched on anything like this in their buyer's consultation. Now, we know in no matter what market we're in, your buyer's consultation is the foundation of the relationship that you are having with your buyer, that specific buyer and agent relationship. Many times we'll know people from different areas of our life, maybe church or some community organization that we participate in, and yet setting an appointment to sit down and have a specific conversation about the buying experience and setting expectations about what your role in it, what their role is in it, and how things are moving forward is very important. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on how you broach this topic. And if we have time, I'll share what I do so that my buyer clients understand what my role is in the process and the expectations are clearly set. Aziz, it is so good to see your hand up. Start us off today.
Morning, everybody. So this comes up a lot. And I have a great idea about it. I am here to consult and hold my clients accountable. So we go through our interview. They tell me what they want. Even if they find a house they like, I want to make sure that it meets all the criteria that we talked about beforehand. So even if I don't physically find this house, I want to make sure that the match is made. And then I'm also here to complete the transaction. So you get full service, but we're making sure that you as a client didn't leave anything out because I'm holding you accountable to what you told me you want and need. And not only for now, but for tomorrow as well.
Absolutely. Like we manage their all the things that come through when a buyer chooses a home. They'll have their logical items and then they'll have their emotional items. Right. And we're there to keep the intersection of those things clear and their priorities in front of them. Thank you, Aziz. Ira, what you got for us?
Good morning and thanks for hosting, Nakia. Very similar to what Aziz said, the discussion revolves around the fact that I'm not just your agent to open doors. I am here to make sure that what you're looking for and what ultimately you choose is really the correct house. And once we get to that point, you need me to help guide the train that continues until it gets to the station at the end, because there are going to be a lot of bumps on the road and they're going to be switches that can take us in a different direction. And it's not just about finding the house. And in many cases, well, in every case, I say, I know that you guys are looking on the internet and you're going to find houses and you might actually find a house before I do. And that's fine. But I might be the person who ultimately I'll go with you and I might ultimately say, this house is not the right house. It doesn't meet your criteria. There's actually a problem with it. I've spoken to the other agent. I will help you get to the right house.
Goes back to asking better questions. So when we met and talked about the home that you really ultimately you wanted, it was very important to you to have a separate space for an office and each of your children to have a room. This house doesn't have that as an option. Has something changed? Ricardo, thank you for raising your hand, my dear. What you got for us today?
What's up, Nakia? Good morning, everybody. Hope all is well. I did answer this to Lauren, who is also in Charleston, South Carolina. So shout out to her. And I know she's not on here, but we'll get that to her. In regards to finding helping buyers, you have to show them the list of 100 things that buyer agents do, whether it's, you know, they find the house, they want a 3-car garage, but this house that they showed us is 2-car garages. Being able to go to this house as well as still see the comps, just because they found this house and they think this is it, you want to make sure that they're looking at all the comps and looking at everything, whether it's a pre-owned home and there's another, the same model that's a new construction that's available, whether it's the concessions that the sellers are giving them, and also your relationship with the possible agent on the other side. You could be saving them anywhere between five to tens of thousands of dollars because of the programs of the loan officers that will be able to provide and inspections and all that. So thanks for allowing me to share.
Thank you for the share. Really appreciate that. Like when we are able to bring all of the pieces together for our clients in there towards the goals that they have communicated with us, it can be quite magical. And then when, if it doesn't happen, it can be a dumpster fire. There's enough of those going on right now. Good morning, Jack Smith. What do you got for us today?
Good morning to everybody. And this is such a wonderful topic. And it's wonderful to hear you on here again leading us. I think the most important thing for us is we ask questions, ask questions, ask questions, ask questions. Phil Jones says the one who asks questions leads. So I think the most important thing is we learn, God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth, right? So I have learned that I just ask simple questions and let them say exactly what they need to say. The one thing that we're so lucky for is that we have leaders like you and James leading us the way, showing us the way, telling us what we need to do and sharing with us what we need to do, because they will tell you everything if you ask the right questions. Anyway, thank you again for being the leader you are today, Nakia. You're a doll.
Thank you, Jack. John Kuhn, you're up next. Robin McCoy, you will follow him.
It's Kuhn, but that's okay. I guess I would say to the client, if you were going to climb Mount Everest, neither one of us discovered Mount Everest, but wouldn't you want a guide? Wouldn't you want somebody who knows the various routes to the top? Wouldn't you want somebody who tells you that even though the weather's great, you shouldn't go to the summit today because of the problems that I know about?
Fantastic. Valid point. The experience that you bring to the interaction is going to help guide your client to the goal that they have set for themselves. Thank you so much. And thank you for the correction, John. Robin, you're up next. Jean Marie, you'll follow her.
Good morning, everybody. I think some people are mistaken that it's not our job to find the house necessarily as much as it is to get them into the house they want. They're getting them from the day we look at it and write a contract to actually giving them the keys. That's where our job and our expertise comes in. Not so much finding the house, because like somebody said, they usually find the house first anyway, because they're on Zillow at 3 a.m. and I'm not.
That is so true. Jean Marie, you're up next. And then Anne, you follow her.
Thanks, Nakia. Thanks for bringing such joy on this morning and for your leadership, as Jack says. So interesting that this is the question for this morning, because as I woke up just a short while ago, I saw in my inbox, the NAR CEO, Nakia Wright, says, we're trying to outrun irrelevance. So there's a conference in Vegas, right? And the Blueprint Vegas. And that speaks directly to this. So I've put a few words down. I've always for years said in my consultations, how coachable are you? Because I always see when that my role is to be the guide, as the speaker just before me said, the coach, the negotiator, the consultant, the planner. We're the people that see this real estate world 360 because we live it. We're not we are helping them with their specific plan, their specific goal. What we bring to them as they want to execute that goal is all the experience of the other buyers that we've helped. And I think the more we bring that up in the consultations, the more relevance we have and the more value.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Jean Marie. And you're up next, followed by Ronnie DiCarlo.
Good morning and thank you. I am on my way into the ALC clinic with James, so I'm super excited. I think this is a great question, and I know particularly in my region, most of my buyers are either second homeowners or retirees, so they don't always know the region or the neighborhoods. And I let them know from the beginning that as we find houses, I'm going to be vetting the house, the neighborhood, the history of the listing, talking to the listing agent before we ever go, because they may ultimately find the house, or they may come up with ideas that look great, but that based on their criteria, once we do that vetting, may or may not be right. And so it's a time saver, and I think it builds the relationship and they appreciate that help. Thank you.
You're welcome. I think it's really important to recognize that within our function, everything, all the advice, any recommendations that we make are filtered through our clients' communicated desires, right? Especially, it's so easy for buyers to think that I'm buying new construction, I don't need an agent in that. And yet, when I've kind of done the post game with buyers who have bought new construction and asked them their experience, how do they feel like I helped in that process? And time again, they say, you helped us filter through so much information and keep our goals in front of us. And I think that's important, that as we, as advocates for our clients through the real estate transaction, keep that in the forefront of any advice that we may give, any recommendations that we may make, is because you said. Thanks. Ronnie, thank you so much for your patience. You're up next. And Brianne, you follow Ronnie.
Thank you so much, Nakia. Good morning. So Mr. and Mrs. Buyer, my team, we take a consultative approach. We will be your consultant from start to finish. And as I lay down this 12-page, 239 steps to a typical transaction, I then let the silence do the heavy lifting of that. That's it. Let them read it. This is what I do for you, because most don't know anything about it.
That's true. Sometimes when we do our job really well, people can think, oh, that was easy, because there are 114 things that go on behind the scenes that you should never have to hear about. And in order to keep this train moving forward, we're making sure that all the bars get moved in place. So, Brianne, thank you for your patience and sharing. Allison, you're going to be up next.
Good morning from Boca Raton. So I don't actually hear this a lot, which is interesting. I've actually never heard it. And I think that part of it is because we set that expectation up front that you're going to be looking at things, and often you're going to find things. And in our area in particular, we have a lot of 55 and over properties, and we have a lot of country clubs. And it is more often than not that someone's going to find a home that they think is beautiful and they love at their price point, and it is in one of these communities. So we're able to really guide them and share, listen, here are all of the things that we've provided. And the last sale that I'm closing on today, in fact, they found a totally different home. And because of working together, we found the right home for them. And I think that that's really important, is that, again, what everyone else said, we can go through what your needs are and what your wants are and what your actual reality is.
That is such a great point. We know that keeping our clients' goals in front of them, because there's so much information, not just about real estate, but just everywhere. There's so many things coming at us and our clients at any given time. And if we act as a good filter, it can smooth the way. Allison, you're up next, followed by Regina.
Good morning, Nakia. Allison from Austin. Thank you for the opportunity. So we have our home buyer consult, you know, packet that we give them. So it is a booklet, and it's based on the Gary Keller book, the Your First Home book. There are 10 easy steps to home ownership, and finding the home is only one of those 10 steps. So, you know, we list all the steps and then we go through each one in our buyer consult. And then at the end, we also have a list of the people involved in the transaction so that they know the buyer specialist or agent is doing these things. We're on a team. So transaction coordinator is doing these things. Our admin team may be doing these other things, what the lender responsibilities are, as well as what the title company is going to do, so that they're very clear as to who's contributing to the transaction, but also just the importance of there are a lot more, you know, if it's one out of 10 steps, there's a lot more going on. I do have the list or similar list that Ronnie talked about, haven't used it in a while, but it's only one of 10 steps. So just a reminder of that.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Yeah, there are many steps, and clarity is kind, right? Clearly defining the expectations for our client helps them know what they can expect from us throughout this process. Regina and Kathleen Garden, you're going to follow Regina. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, similar to what people have said, I use a flow chart. It's like so old, it's ridiculous. But in there is the process of once we know what their needs are is to select properties. And from there, I let them know I'm going to get them on from our MLS, our multiple listing service, that there's a collaboration center in that multiple MLS. And just like when I list a property, I spend a lot of time and energy and money presenting that property and putting it on an electronic feed with our internet and the IDX feeds. So chances are they may see it on a different platform than what I'm seeing, but at least with this particular platform, we can communicate and they can like, you know, the properties I'm sending. So I know what they're interested in as well, as far as style, let alone, you know, the size of the lot and the functionality of the property and things like that. But, you know, with that, I think it's really important based on, you know, I always feel that same way as what that buyer said, did I do enough to deserve and earn my compensation? And I know everybody's like saying, yes, you did. But I think in that same like manner is we have to let them know how can properties are advertised out there. And they may see it on my site, they may see it on realtor.com, whatever, they may be driving by it, but we're all working together. And I emphasize it's collaboration. And so it's them versus them and me, not versus me, and all these other agents who are also working for their sellers to get the property sold. They're doing their job. So this is a great opportunity to say, when we select properties, they may be something that I've sent them or they found it from somewhere else. And that's okay, because the end goal is to get you into a house and for whatever reasons their motivation was and bring them back to that. So I think that's a huge part. And I have that flow chart and it's right there. And I use that collaboration center. It's a great word.
Because that's what it is. It is a collaborative effort between you and your client to not only locate, but get. I kept seeing in the chat today, I don't just find the house, I help you get the house, because finding the house may be easy, but getting the house, going from desire to contract completion to ownership is a process, and we're a team in that. Frank, you will follow her.
Thank you, everyone. It all starts even before we sit down to talk, when that first conversation on the phone, where I have a intake sheet, as I call it, where I ask a bunch of questions. And then when we meet, we get the first thing is we got to know what their budget is, whether they're paying cash or what they're qualified for. Because the worst thing we can do is show them a house that they can never afford. And then they're going to compare everything else to it. Doing our job, and if they're being honest with us up front, we can show them a minimum amount of houses and they'll find the right house right away. Along the way, some of the buyers are like the kid in the ultimate candy store. They see everything, they want everything. If they veer off of what they told me, we come back and we sit down, and the question is, okay, what has changed? If nothing's changed, we're getting back into lane and all. And the consultation is very simple. It's all questions and listening, and also using the power of that silence, using it properly and all. And at the end, everybody's happy and everything is good. It's just staying with it and going from there.
Thank you so much, Frank. We really appreciate that. Melody Klein in the chat posted one of my favorite sayings, but I'd rather ask you 500 questions and you see five houses in person than ask you five questions and send you off to see 500 houses. Like, the more questions we ask, the greater our understanding of our clients' goals and motivations, the smoother we can make the process. Telly, you're going to share what you got on your mind, and then Neville, you will follow him.
Good morning, Nikia. Thank you so much for this opportunity. Good morning, everyone. One of the biggest things that I always say is this, and this is what I try to do. When I sit down with the client, is I think that there's thousands and thousands of realtors. And what I need to show is, how am I going to be the best person for them to find them the home to make the biggest difference in their life? It is about our value. It is about, what is it that makes Telly Telly? What makes Frank Frank? What makes Donna Donna? Shout out to incredible, incredible realtors. But more importantly, is that it starts there, and it starts with your own value with it. When I'm working with clients, it is about all of the questions. It is about going through who we are as fiduciaries and how important it is and how it makes a difference in their lives with what we do. And finally, when it comes to searching and everything, is, yeah, every, you know, we can easily put them on an MLS search. But as I always tell people, I say, okay, we're going to play the old game, guess who? Where you're going to find the things, and what our goal is to find all the no's. You can live with a yes in a house easily, but when it's a no, that's not something you want in your home. And hard no's are the easiest definition to find someone the home that they truly will want to be in. And then it's working together with them to show that you're a team, with you and all of your other resources and the lender and the attorney and the title company, whatever it might be, to get that job done for them, to truly get them what they really wish for. So thank you.
Thank you, Telly. I couldn't have said it better myself. Thank you for your patience, Neva. You're going to go next. And then Julie out in, was it Hunterdon City, New Jersey? You're going to be next. What do you got for us, Neva?
Thanks for calling on me, Nikia. So first things first, during the presentation, I also present a very pretty flow chart. And it essentially outlines not just the process, but the order of the process. I also provide a list of about 40 things for buyers that I do. And I let them know that that is not a complete list. That is just some of it. And then in the off chance that I get that objection of, why am I paying you? I also let them know during the process, like, hey, if I'm doing my job correctly, you may wonder why you're even paying me. And that's a good thing. I said, because my job is to be your sword and shield and only present to you the things that I absolutely have to, or that I'm not allowed to take care of on my own. So if you feel like you're paying me and you're wondering why, just know that that's a good thing, because I'm taking care of all of the things behind the scene.
That is such a good point, to be the sword and shield, because it's been mentioned so many times already. There are so many moving pieces within the transaction process. And when you are an effective sword and shield, your buyer, you make it look easy. And yet at the same time, value unarticulated is value unappreciated. So if you don't share with your clients all the things that you're doing, they have no idea what barbs that you're keeping them from experiencing. So Julie, you're up next. Erin Nelson, you will follow her.
Oh, I'm sorry. I had one more thing, Nikia, that I was going to say. When they say, well, I'm fine in the houses. Okay, that's great. When you go to your doctor, sometimes they find the problem. Sometimes you find the problem and go to them. But the purpose is, you find it so that you can plan a course of action. So it doesn't matter who finds it. It's just a matter of you finding it and then being able to take the next steps with your professional.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for that. Way to wrap that up, Viva. Julie, you're up next. Erin, you will follow her.
Great, thank you. So thank you for asking. My job actually isn't to help you find the house. My job actually starts once you find the house. So that's where the negotiating, all of my expertise comes in, my partnerships with vendors that you're going to use, inspections, appraisals, and whatnot. There's 100 million things that I do once we actually find the house. And I could honestly talk to you all day about it. However, I think it might be most beneficial of your time is if you chat with a few of my buyers that actually I just closed with for their perspective on how important a realtor was once they actually found the house and getting them to the closing table.
Awesome. Good deal. Aaron, you're going to be our last one on the pre-show. We're going to be in the one thing today, ladies and gents. So if you have your book, you're welcome. Otherwise, you know, I'll absolutely read it for you. Thank you, Julie, for sharing. Aaron, what do you got for us, my dear?
So I'm just going to keep it short and simple. In the buyer agent consultation, one of the very first things I say to them is, when we start looking for houses, you've given me all your criteria. I've asked all these questions. It very much happens that you fall in love with the first house that we go and see. And that's perfectly fine because that means I've done a wonderful job at my job in helping find the house. But if we are looking for houses and I'm going to be sending you stuff, if you see something that I didn't send you, send it to me.
Let's start getting on to Facebook. Are we live? Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Thursday. It's Nakia Dollar in Huntsville, Alabama, the Rocket City, guest hosting for James today. We're going to be in the one thing today, page 145, if you're following along. If not, no worries. I'm going to read it for you. But as always, we're going to start off the day with our Tell Me Something Goods. Give you just a moment to get your hands up and share what you've got going on. All right, William, good morning.
Good morning. Oh, I have been a great day today because I got some free Red Sox tickets today and we're getting to go to a game. And I hope I'm able to make it. I got to struggle a little bit, but I am looking forward to it. It's making me feel a whole lot better. I also had a good thing last week. I got to have breakfast with Donna Gilbert, and it was wonderful. I got a Donna Gilbert hug, and I was so happy. And 2 weeks before that, it was my 52nd wedding anniversary. So, hey, life is good. I'm alive and well and kicking. Okay, you guys.
Awesome. Thank you, William. Belated happy anniversary to you. Congratulations. Julie Neumeier in Clearwater, what's good?
Hi, it's Jenny. But my good thing is that 25 years ago, we'll say, Jennifer Rice was born on this day. And I am really grateful for her friendship and her beautiful smile. And I love her so much. And I'm happy that she's alive.
Talk about something good. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in the one thing today. We're talking on the pre-show, and thank you so much for posting your questions in the Pivot Shift Ahead Facebook group. That's where we're able to come together and the pre-show before we come live on Facebook, talk about those things. We're in one of my favorite books, The One Thing. Funny story, the very first business coach I had suggested that I read this book before making some recommendations in my business, and the first time I met my team leader, he gave me a copy of the book. Meet with my coach, met my team leader, get a copy of the book. Talk about serendipity. We're on page 145, and it's number 3 when Gary Keller's talking about big ideas. Absent an answer, pick a direction. Purpose may sound heavy, but it doesn't have to be. Think of it simply as the one thing you want in your life to be about more than any other. Try writing down something you'd like to accomplish and then describe how you'd like to do it. So pick a direction, start marching down that path and see how you like it. Time brings clarity. And if you find you don't like it, you can always change your mind. It is your life. You're not a tree. And in many instances, the choices that you make are not going to be fatal, right? So if you're not sure what it is that you want to do, pick a direction, and over time you'll find either it's going to work or it won't, and you can make a change and head in a different direction. But you won't be starting from zero because you will be starting from the experience that you gained from taking action. Let's talk about it. We got Elaine's hand up.
Good morning, my friend Nikia. You are so beautiful. Just wanted to say that I'm reading about this whole thing, writing it down. And I have to say that it sounds simplistic because we all hear it since most of us here are Keller Williams, and we've all heard of the GPS, the 411, and then the 12-week year is a book that we can all adopt. And breaking down goals. And when you break down and actually write down that really big goal, you have all these, as the book I'm reading, blurts come into your mind and say, wow, that's a really big goal. And, you know, like it tries to talk you out of it. And what the exercise was that I shared on Pivot earlier this week was write down the goal that you really have in your heart. And then when you write it down 10 times, write down next to all the times that your mind, all the scenarios that it's trying to talk you out of that goal, and write down those blurts, they call them blurts. And why do you have those blurts? I mean, Gary Keller, I'm in the top 100 group. And the first time he ever did this, all these blurts came in. He said, everyone in this room, if you can make, say, $10 million, you can make $20 million. And if you make $20 million, you can make $40 million. And he really does believe in all of us here that no matter what we put down on that piece of paper as our goal, we can do. And he doesn't understand why we put limitations on ourselves. So don't put any limitations. Just understand that those blurts that come into your head are only that. They're very, very tiny little blurts.
Awesome. Elaine, thank you so much for sharing. It's really important to recognize that as we move through our life, that we're picking up experiences, and those experiences can help change the outcomes in the direction that we choose. Dean Moss, you're up next. Kathleen Garden, you're going to follow him.
Hey, good morning, Nikia. Thanks so much for the opportunity. I remember when I was a kid, I think we all remember this. At some point, we have our parents in the pool. My father was in the swimming pool, and he said, Dean, jump in the pool. No, I can't jump in the pool. What if something happens? I can't jump in the pool. Jump in the pool. So this went on for a little bit of time. And finally, I said, all right, let's my dad. I jumped in the pool. What happened after I jumped in the pool? You couldn't get me out of the pool. I was there for hours, it seemed. Probably not really hours, but it seemed like that. But the thing is you have to take the step. And you can't wait till everything is perfect. And that's what stops some people. Well, I can't do it. I got to wait for this or that or the other thing. You have to take a step first, and then what ends up happening is you realize that you could do whatever you were afraid of 30 seconds ago. So you got to jump into the pool. Thanks for letting me share.
Awesome. Sage advice, Dean. Kathleen Artis, you're going to follow her.
Hey, let's see. Can you hear me now?
Loud and clear.
Great. Thanks for letting me share. Yeah, this is a really perfect timing because I think we all, you know, when we look at, we call it our big why, right? If your purpose and big why is big enough, and it may change over the period of your years, you adapt and adjust, but if your big why and purpose is enough, you're going to feel it. And in doing that, just like in the one thing, you do one thing at a time to make that happen. But the big thing that I've just learned, I've taken classes on this, is you've got to see it, you got to envision it, and just put it out there. Don't put it out there with the end result, what you're going to do. And the more you see that, the more you believe it, the more you feel it, and the more you're passionate about. And you're going to have outside forces. You're going to have outside circumstances. You're going to have excuses, but you have to put those aside and stay the course. But there's going to be bumps, right? We know that in the one thing as well. And I really encourage everybody, just really look at your purpose, your big why, pray about it. And once you see it, you're going to go for it.
Awesome. Thank you, Kathleen. I think it's really important to recognize that not everyone has the same view of goal setting. And in many instances, I've likened it to art, right? Because you will activate your creativity and put together your goals and not be emotionally tied to the outcome. And sometimes thinking about something that is so big, it can cripple people. Like, that's so big. How do I even get started? And that's why this passage is so important, because in the absence of an answer, pick a direction. You start moving in one direction and you figure out as you're moving whether or not you're going in the direction that you want when you reevaluate what results those actions have given you. And so sometimes people really get, myself included, I've gotten caught up in like, is my why big enough? You know, if you forever remember hearing James talk about when he moved, he didn't have enough money in his checking account to fill up the gas tank for the U-Haul after his first divorce. In that moment, that was his why, to have enough money in his account to put gas in his car. And through helping other people, that's no longer a concern. Artist, thank you so much for your patience. Kira, you're going to be next.
I don't remember who yesterday mentioned the Mel Robbins podcast with Emma Greed, but it was like the fourth time I heard somebody talking about that particular podcast. So I did take the time to listen to it yesterday, and it just resonated kind of what we've been talking about the past couple of days with me, as far as like goals. I've always been good at seeing past where I am to get further to where I'm going to be. And I feel like that has been so helpful in my life. But sometimes we don't get scared when we place those big goals because we don't think we can do it. Some of us actually know that when we put those big goals down that we can actually do it. And I just learned it's called like imposter syndrome or something they call it, where you're too nervous to even get that blessing because maybe where you're from or who's around you have never seen blessings like that. And whenever you do put the work in and do put the time in, Lord does bless you to have those things. So you just get so scared. I don't want this big blessing again, because every time I do it, you know, I don't know if I belong there, or people around me don't see it or can't envision that. So is it not real in that way? Or when it comes, is the pressure going to be on me to take care of everybody or do everything? Like, so those are different reasons, I think, for me, as far as what I was thinking about yesterday and what you're talking about today with that podcast. She was talking about envision yourself. You have to be great where exactly where you are to get where you're going. And a lot of people will say you're doing this, this, and that, and they don't know that you're just putting a smile on your face, showing up better every day for yourself. And then all that stuff starts to come. And as long as you're working towards better, you'll get it. And I know I will. And I know I'm on that path.
Awesome, artist. Thank you so much for sharing. Kira, you're up next. Erica Rose, you're going to follow her.
So what I got out of the passage that you read was pick a direction. And I think the biggest thing when it comes to that is, like, think of it like this. If you threw a couple pebbles into a river, you would just get a couple of waves, versus if you take one big boulder and then throw it in there, you'll get a big tsunami. And so I have to tell myself this, and I'm sure like other people that I'm close with, that we got to pick a direction. If we fail, we at least know that that's not the right route, and we can always pivot. And I think sometimes people get in their head and they basically disqualify themselves before even trying. So if that's like YouTube, if that's like social media, so many people say, oh, I don't want to be on social media. And I love social media, so I use this as an example. But actually find your target market, find the problem to solve, and pick one platform and go at it. And I just think that stop making excuses, because also my favorite quote is, whatever you're not changing, you're choosing. So pick a direction and be committed. And guess what? It's your life. You can always change it.
Excellent. And bringing cheerleader vibes this early in the morning. Thank you so much. One thing that came to mind as you and the last two people shared is something that Gary Keller says in the book, and I can't remember what page it is, but it resonates in my brain, that the purpose of a goal is not to achieve a result. It's to be appropriate in the moment. So what does that mean? Like, you know that in order to get somewhere, you need to leave by a certain time. So being appropriate in the moment is leaving by that certain time. If it takes you 30 minutes to get there and you want to give yourself a 15-minute window, you leave 45 minutes before you intend to be there to give yourself that window. And that's being appropriate in the moment. You're thinking about what time you have to leave. You're setting your things aside to make sure that they're there when you're ready to walk out the door. If you're meal planning, all the things that they create, the activities, the actions that you want to take to get there. Now, will everything happen the way that you envision it? In many cases, no. we have the opportunity to pivot and change and recognize, okay, so if I take the main road, I'll get caught up in a traffic jam. However, if I take a side road, I can still get to my desired destination. Maybe you might be late, maybe you might be early, but that's the process. Ryan Leake wrote a book back in 2020 called Chasing Failure, where he talked about the process of becoming an NBA player. So few people actually reach the ranks of an NBA player, and yet it's the process. It's all the things that you learn. It's the workouts that you do. It's the meal plans that you do. It's the exercises. It's the training. Everything that you do changes you. And while the outcome that you desire might not be yours, the person that you become in the entire journey is the entire point, right? Your goals are a destination, a direction to head in, but they're not your entire life, because sometimes you might reach the goal that you wanted, and then what? You get to choose a new goal. You get to choose a new path. You get to choose a new direction and move forward and learn and continue to become the best version of yourself. Erica Rose, you're up next, and then Shirley, you're going to follow her.
Yeah, so thank you so much for leading the call today, Nakia. Actually, someone sent me this message last night because I was feeling like at times I was stumbling, and I think this is a perfect segue to like what we're chatting about today, because oftentimes we can even be our own critic, as you were saying about the goals. And it's a quote by Theodore Roosevelt, and it's not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errors, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming. But who does actually strive to do the deeds? Who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. So let's all get in the arena and actually look defeat in the face and face everything and rise.
Oh, God. Way to go, Erica. Thank you so much for sharing that. Shirley, you're up next. Jessica Starr, you will follow her.
Thank you, Nakia. My preparation for tomorrow's devotion, it's entitled Measure Me, and I actually took the seven circles from the one thing to share. Sometimes we don't even know where to begin. And with the seven circles in grading yourself, it can kind of give you a start as to what area you want to focus on. And then I love where in the book where it says time brings clarity. And if you find you don't like it, you can always change your mind. We can always change our mind. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Shirley. Like, yeah. I mean, I think sometimes we get so caught up in doing things right and not making mistakes. Like, mistakes are where most of the learning happens. Your things that you had to pivot from or change from teach you so much more when things go smoothly. And so we need to embrace the experience and move forward. Jessica Starr, what do you got for us, my dear? Good morning.
Good morning, friends. So I was on the struggle bus, and you guys know this, for probably about a year. Probably wasn't showing up as the best leader I could be, wasn't in the best energy I could be, and struggling just health-wise and with, you know, my old office and a bunch of stuff that was going on for me. And it part of it was because I wasn't feeling well. I had, you know, different changes going on in my life, and I'm at that age, that pivotal age, 45. So for the ladies out there, you understand what's happening. And I was actually talking to two dear friends repeatedly, Terry Shaw, you guys might know her, and Leah the other day. And we're talking about how things are changing. And I said to them, you know what? My energy is different. I read this great book for all you out there, and everyone, guy, girl, should read it. Whoever you are, however you identify, it's called Good Energy. And it talks about sometimes we got to change our state and change our energy. And I talked about how I've been changing the way I wake up in the morning. Sometimes I'm taking the morning slower, even if it's a business morning, and I'm not rushing to the office, and I'm taking the time to enjoy the process of my morning with my kids and my gratitude and my journals, and taking it a little bit slower, which I'm trying to enjoy the process and not be in the rush, but more in the flow. And with that, my energy is completely different. I'm coming in more fulfilled. I'm coming in more focused, and I may not be rushing through my day as much. But when I am there, I am so present and so focused and getting so much more done. It is so different. So when I am doing the things that I'm doing in my day, I'm also way more intentional about the water I'm drinking, the vitamins I'm taking, the sunlight I'm getting. I'm taking, making it a point to make small little changes, like getting 10 minutes of walking in 3 times a day. Listen, I didn't say I'm taking 8 million steps. I'm running marathons. I'm doing an Ironman. I'm doing, right? But 10 minutes of walking 3 times a day. Getting in more water, like small little steps, and they're just consistent steps because I'm changing the energy in my mindset around little things. And you guys can make those changes because, just like Shirley said, those 7 circles you focus on, well, some of those circles fall off sometimes, right? And sometimes our mindset gets really crappy because certain things might be bringing us down or certain energy might be bringing us down. And then that doesn't make us the leader, whether at home or whether in work, or maybe we're just not showing up the way we want to for ourselves. So how are you showing up for yourself? I wasn't showing up the way I wanted to for myself, and probably for you guys too, right? Like, even if you might think you were, you probably weren't. So just throwing that out there, because I think that some of the things that we set for ourselves as goals are set, but we're not really thinking about how we're showing up in our day-to-day lives. And we can't hit those goals because in the end, if one of those circles is off, our wheel isn't rolling in the right direction. And it's kind of teetering off to the side of the road. We might be hitting a bit of a ditch every once in a while. So get out of that ditch and change your habits. Read good energy.
What a way to close out the call. Remember, no. Perfect. We're right on time. Remember, you have to put your oxygen mask on first. You can't help anyone else. You can't pour from an empty cup. Recognize that your body is the vehicle with which you're going to move through this life. Take care of it. Consistency over intensity, 10 minutes of walking, drink more water. And if it doesn't work for you, change. That was the entire topic of our call today. Thank you so much for all the energy, all the questions, all the comments, all the shares today. That's one thing that makes this call so great and a wonderful way for you to start your day. Because remember, now you've gotten your inspiration. Now it's time to go put in the perspiration. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Make it a great day on purpose.
Nakia, thank you so much. I appreciate you filling in. I appreciate you, too, for listening and making this part of what you do. You know, we would love to connect with you. So if you're on Facebook, go find us. Pivot Shift Ahead is the Facebook group, and you can join that and hang out in this space a little bit more. We have a ton of resources for you, and you can get information on the Inspire Collective. That's our membership community at jamesdshaw.com. And then finally, let's connect on the socials. Find me on Instagram at jamesdshaw. Thanks for being here. You got your inspiration. Go put in the perspiration. See you next time.